This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. All right, Project, welcome back to this week's After Show. Favorite time of the week. Love to just talk shit. And I love you guys that tune in. You just share love. Actually, we never...
like to talk shit. You like to listen shit.
We actually never... it makes no sense. We actually never announced the winner of the giveaway. I mean, we've told her and we're booked in. I think the listeners obviously deserve to know who it was.
Yeah.
So, Raph's going to get the name.
Without her consent.
Yeah.
And the winner is... Zoe.
Zoe. So, Zoe, I think she lives in Byron.
Yeah.
So we're pumped to hang out with Zoe. Thank you to everyone else who put in your entries. And then, guys, thank you to everyone who is a gym owner that's shown interest in this upcoming event. We don't have the name of it yet. I'm leaning towards GymCon. Sounds right. Like gym convention. It's like VidCon, YouTube convention.
What's that big one like? Isn't it Conicon? Is that the name?
Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, yeah. I think GymCon sounds cool. Like, sounds like a cool event. But anyway.
Like BenchCon. Squat con.
No, because some people don't believe in bench press, like pure CrossFit.
We don't come then.
Don't need it. But GymCon 2021, November 6th, Saturday, November 6th, Sydney, Australia. All gym owners around Australia, welcome. We're probably going to cap the event at 200 people. Most likely, if you bring your business partner, we will definitely hit that number. And I'm so much so looking forward to it. So we've got a very professional events person running the whole thing for us. So it's not going to be like, oh, Lock and Raph did it on the side while running locker room and all the other stuff that they do. No, we've got like a proper team behind this event. Like we want to do it properly. And the reason we want to do it, guys, because selfishly, no one else is doing this, and we want an event like this to look forward to every year.
We wanted a free ticket. So we thought of the most complex way to get a free ticket imaginable.
Yeah. So we're just super excited for it. You know, we talked about this in the Black last week, but basically, guys, the reason we're running this is because there needs to be something in the calendar that we all come together, we look forward to, we put aside our competition, we all learn, we invest a little bit of money, but we get a 10x return, and we go back to our gyms with a renewed energy, with tools that we can use to change the trajectory in the course of our lives, that we can make more money, start families, buy houses, you know, grow our facilities, expand, open more locations. There needs to be an event that's dedicated to that. And not an event that's going to pitch you from stage with that gross upselling and programs you don't really... No, the value is going to be there in the ticket. There's not going to be stalls there. You don't have to open your wallet again in that whole weekend. That's the idea. We want
except
to
for
make
drinks
something,
after.
Yeah, except for the after party. But, you know, we'll open ours and we'll pay for your drinks as well. But we'll go nuts. There'll be like a VIP dinner. How that's going to work is based off the people that inquire, it's probably going to be invite only. So we'll just be reaching out to you guys individually. There's only a few seats at that VIP dinner. But then everyone's, you know, the ticket's going to get you to the after party as well, which is like, guys, if you just do what I did in Miami for the last gym owners event that we did, is it's just fun to be in another city and just party. So, you know, we've got an amazing location set up for the after party. Awesome facility, same in the area. So it's just going to be a really, really fun weekend. So very much looking forward to that. November 6th, put it in your calendar, Saturday, November 6th. Make sure you block it out so you don't double book yourself. And then register your interest. If you're a gym owner, themindmuscleproject.com/event. And at that link there, you guys can put in. There's been a fair few of you already. So we're very excited to launch that. And, you know, you'll get all the updates on the keynote speakers and stuff, within July, next few weeks. So, I put a post up on the LinkedIn the other day. I got some interesting attention. I'll confess, I haven't listened to the whole thing, but Joe Rogan had on a testosterone expert, I believe her name is.
Carol Hooven.
Okay. So, explain exactly who she is and what she talked about on the show.
Man, I think, yeah, testosterone expert is the best way to describe it. That's what she studies, and I guess the influence that has on people. Mm. Obviously, we talk about gender stuff the most. But I'll give you like an anecdote that might pique interest. One I found interesting, obviously, because I have a young kid, is how there's big testosterone differences even when kids are really young and they're still in the womb and stuff like that. Even though you don't really think about it that much, so it's like, doesn't look like a baby's charging with testosterone.
Mm.
And it's that extra testosterone they have.
Oh, so babies have testosterone.
Yeah, like there's huge differences between obviously males and females, even when they're first developing. And that's what leads like really young kids, which I can already see, to wanting to do, like, for example, lots of rough play when they're young. So, like, you know, you've experienced, like, even when they're 18-month-old, they just want to, like, get rough and tackle each other and jump on. And young girls, like, typically don't really want to do that.
Yeah.
They're actually sensible. But that's...
they're civilized.
And that's what... It's because it's, as young as possible, preparing preparing men to be able to, like, cause that's how they're going to, like, basically, you know, fight over mates when they're in the future and hunt and stuff like that. Like, it's preparing them from a very young age.
Oh, is that the theory?
Yeah, because, like, they're going to have to be physical to be, you know, a dominant, successful male when they're older. So, like, immediately their testosterone is pushing them towards
enjoying
and wanting to do physical contact. Soon as they're, you know, as soon as they're basically able to just start walking, they already want to run and tackle you. And it's, I guess, how those differences in testosterone play out over your life. And it's very interesting.
Now, would that, that would be the same for dogs, you reckon?
Yeah, I think very similar.
Okay, because I just obviously got a dog this week and, like, he's a boy. He loves biting and shit and scratching and attacking me and stuff. Man, it's so funny because we're talking about this during the week. It's like a lot of people, because in leading up to this dog, a lot of people are like, oh, it's like having your first kid. I'm like, no, it's not. You know, kids are obviously significantly harder than a dog. And there was this moment on the third night. So first two nights, easy. Like, went to bed, locked him in the cage. Like, he like whinged for a little bit, you know, maybe like 30 seconds and he fell asleep. It was fine. Third night. Dude, it was like howling, barking, screaming. I was like, this is it. This is the moment that everyone told you about and you thought you'd got away with it, like, with this special dog. But no, now you're going to suffer. Like, get up all night, like, soothe him, pat him. And you're like, fuck, I should have just got a kid instead of a dog. Anyway, so Ev keeps getting up, trying to, like, soothe him. It's not working. I'm like, oh, fuck. All right, let me deal with it. I'm just going there. I'm going to, like, smack him or something. I just went in there. I'm not violent. Just, like, give him a little pat. Anyway, so I went in there, he's in his cage, he's like screaming. I start walking over and he just like goes real quiet. And then I looked in the cage and I was like, that's enough. And I walked back to my bed and that was it. Dude, I don't know what it is.
Doesn't work
with babies. I don't know what it is. I think maybe it's like I was telling to someone who's got dogs, it's like an alpha thing. Maybe like dogs respond better, like male dogs respond better to alpha. Because, yeah, I don't know. But he's, it's interesting as well. And like you probably had this with Ziggy. Is like when they get to this overtired state,
yes,
it's like they just go nuts.
100%
like,
same.
Dude, he was like humping everything. He was screaming like he was going crazy. And then you just got to like control them, like just hold them and just like relax them. But they're going nuts the whole time, right? They're barking, yelling. And then as soon as they just relax for a second, out cold.
Yeah.
Well, out cold.
That's something I got very wrong. Because I was like looking at it from my perspective. I was like, oh, if you're like really tired, like you haven't had a nap all day, you'll just want to go straight to sleep. That was my thinking, right?
But like, they're like confused.
If you're exhausted, you're like, oh, dude. When you're exhausted, you just get home, you're like, I'm just going to bed. Close your eyes. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
When they like haven't slept and they've missed out on sleep, they're like, now I am not going to sleep. Now I'm going to go psycho.
Yeah, they thrive on routine. They thrive on routine. I realize dogs. So, yeah, it's been an interesting journey so far with the little one. He, I don't know. Dogs is just like different to what I expected. I was saying to one of my clients, because he was like, dude, don't worry. Like, you know, because I said, if it was up to me, not that I don't like dogs, I just honestly would never have bought a dog. It just wouldn't have come into consideration. Like, if someone has a cute dog, I'll pat the dog, I'll play with the dog, I love it. But it's just, it's never crossed my radar to be like, I really want a dog.
Right. It's the same with kids.
Right.
Most guys would probably be like, oh, it just probably never would have happened.
No, I mean, some guys, they really want dogs and they really want kids, right? But I think for majority...
Majority is not in the instincts.
Yeah. And so, but then with this dog, I was having this experience of like in the morning, because we leave so early now that we're running so much stuff at the same time. I'm like, ah, be good to stay like another like 10 minutes and just like hang out and play with the dog. I'm sure you've had the same experience with Ziggy. But then I instantly get on my phone. I don't know if you were like this at the start. I'm like, please send updated footage of him playing like all day, just so I can like
keeps
enjoy
you going.
It. Yeah, dude. So it's like motivating. It's like doing it for my son. My dog son. Yeah, but there's like so much to do with dogs. It's like, it's overwhelming. It's like, all right, they can't go here for a while until they get this vaccine. They can't do that. They can't eat this. This that.
What,
it's
COVID
like,
vaccine?
No, not COVID. It's like...
they get vaccines as well, dogs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because like other dogs and like rats and stuff, they carry a lot of diseases on them. And like when they piss on the street and the dogs like lick the pee or they like go near it and stuff, it can like make them really sick. And so they've got to like wait a while to get these vaccines, but you can't like take them to other areas where other unvaccinated pets have been, or they'll get really sick. It's fine if you know, you can hang out with another dog straight away if you know it's been vaccinated, the dog's fine. But if it hasn't, I mean, obviously you don't know when you're out in public, that's why they say you can't. And like the vets even say like you can't even put the dogs on the concrete. Like I can't even walk them through the street, just because like if rats have pissed there or unvaccinated dogs, it's like really dangerous for them. Yeah. So there's like there's heaps of stuff. I just reckon a lot of people.
Is there like a big community of anti-vaccine dogs out there?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm sure there is. But I think what's interesting is just like, I reckon so many people just get a dog and that's the furthest they think. They buy a lead, they buy some food, but they don't like get the crate and the bed and the pee pad and then do the research and go to the vet. Like there's so much stuff that goes into it. It's like, you got to really be ready and want one. And then people, loads of people don't train their dog. Like training takes ages. Mm. You know, you got to have different cues, different hand signals for different cues. You got to get the rewards right. Like,
is it going to guard your apartment in any way?
I'd say so. He's a savage. Yeah. Yeah, cool. He's protect, kill and destroy. But no, it's been good so far. You know, what was interesting is, so like this week I got tickets to a play. Mm. I don't normally go to plays, but this play has been sold out since January, 7 days a week, and it's still going. I think it runs 12 months, every single day, Monday to Sunday.
Different, surely different.
Sold out every day.
They must have different staff.
I think they have like a B and rotating. C crew or whatever. Yeah. A place called Hamilton. I know. Do you know who Alexander Hamilton is?
It's not Hamilton the Shakespeare play.
I don't know, actually.
Right.
I don't know. No, it's one of the... When was Shakespeare? What era? I don't think so. Alexander Hamilton's one of the founding fathers in America. So this So this one regret I had was I didn't do enough research on what the show would be, which is kind of stupid. You shouldn't really have to research a play.
Man, I was so wrong. I thought it was Shakespeare. This is not Shakespeare in any way.
No, this isn't Shakespeare.
Right.
No. But there is a Shakespeare play called Hamilton.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thought it was that play.
Not that play, no. So Alexander Hamilton, it's just like a different perspective on a founding father that never gets talked about in America. And so it's like basically a play on American history, but it's a musical. I think it was one of those moments where it's got so much hype, it's so good, that literally the only thing it could be is overrated. It couldn't exceed, because it's like, dude, this has been sold out all over the world. Like, it's the best play that's, and people are just going on and on about it. And what I realized is with anything, if it gets too much hype, it never lives up to it. Almost never.
You know, I think that it's a little bit like, you know how now there's a lot of the like kind of spectacle boxing fights, like the Mike Tyson fight recently.
Because, Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather.
Those are fights I find a little bit similar as well. When I watched them, I was like, oh, like Mike Tyson's back after like this long hiatus. And it's so, the marketing of it outweighs the actual event.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it's almost never, unless he like just, you know, it comes out 20 years younger and knocks some dude out and then like around the whole field, like comes back in the ring. He's like, ears still hanging off and shit, and he like gets revenge. It's like not going to it's not going to live up to the hype.
Nah. And I think it's like UFC, right? Sometimes the fighters that are on the card are like insane, but sometimes the card last weekend that no one knew any of the fighters on there was like way better than that card, you know? Mm. Not always, but sometimes like those cards with the no names are like the people who are trying to make a name for themselves. Yeah. They're like the craziest cards. They have no hype going into it. You have no expectations. And it's like fight of the year between two guys you've never heard of before. Not that it happens all the time, but yeah, I think I just got to learn the lesson that too much hype, it's like never good.
Always disappointing.
And what I also learned about myself is I don't like plays. I tried really hard the whole time. I did. I was, it was a really busy day. I was very tired when I got there. I may have fallen asleep through the middle of it, but I wanted to like it. And I think that me forcing myself to like it clouded, am I actually enjoying this? Because I was like, no, this is good. Everyone's telling me it's good. And then it was only upon reflection the next day, I was like, if it was that good, I would still be thinking about it today. It's when you watch like a really good movie, right? You probably wake up the next day and you're like still thinking 100%. About the movie, right? And that's how you know it was a really good movie. But if you totally forgot that you watched that movie, it's probably not a very good movie. Probably didn't make much of an impact. And that was the play. I like remembered it midway through the day and I'm like, oh, yeah, you know what? It just wasn't. I'm just not a play person.
Have you ever seen Book of Mormon?
No.
I think you'd like that. That's from the South Park guys.
Is it? Yeah, that's okay. Is it a musical?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I've heard of that one. I heard that one is funny.
It's very funny.
Yeah. And I think also with recommendations and hype, who is the person recommending it to you as well? I think that's something you've got to take in way heavily in the decision.
Is it your mum?
It was my mum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's not going to be good.
Sorry, mum. But what I do love and what I think a lot of people would love if you've seen it is Cirque du Soleil. Have you been to one of those?
Yeah.
Dude, they are unreal.
They're unreal.
For whatever reason in my head, I was like, oh, it's going to be like Cirque du Soleil. It's like a live play or whatever. It's going to be awesome. It's like, no, they're totally different things. And I love those. I think because I appreciate the athleticism.
Yes.
And let me just say, I appreciate the art of what happened in Hamilton. The dancing, the coordination, the lights, like the singing. Like, I appreciate that these people are amazing. I just don't like that as a form of entertainment. I'd just rather go watch an action movie. You know, that's just how I'm wired. rather go watch a UFC card. But anyway, so tying into that, right, I'm like slightly upset at myself, but also don't care. I broke my reading streak from 75 hard. So I was like, so 90, it's funny because when I posted 90 focused, so I posted my list of things that I do on 90 focused, and a guy messaged me back. He's like, bro, I've been looking for the 90 focused business challenge. He's like, I can't find it anywhere on the internet. I'm like, dude, that's because I invented it. He's like, oh. I'm like, yeah, yeah. No, 90 focus, I just made it up. Yeah. He's like, oh. But so many people asked about that that app that you gave me. So yeah, anyone that's interested, like just no plug here, no money, but just
it's a habit list. You have to pay for it, right?
You have to pay for it, yeah. But yeah, if you want a really good thing to track habits, great app, Habit List, nice and simple.
Man, it's even good for like, it's good for work and it can be good for training as well.
Mm.
You can do anything in there.
Yeah. So this is how I broke it, right? I'd done everything on the list for the day and I was even doing some of it during Hamilton because I was like so far behind because Thursday was just, anytime you get a short week from a public holiday, it's just chaos. And like doing a bunch of coaching, meetings, like it was chaos. Anyway, so I'm catching up a lot of the stuff. The last thing I had on my list, so I had to get up at 5 a.m. and I got home at 11:30 p.m. And the last thing I had on my list, after I'd already done about 30 minutes of work when I got home, it was like midnight. It's like I had to read 10 pages.
You broke.
And I was like, you know what? I will literally not be able to get through these pages because I'm so tired. So I was like, I can get through 10 pages. Will I absorb any of the information? Absolutely not. Will it take me six times as long to get through 10 pages as it normally does because I'm rereading the same line over and again? Yes. So I made the executive decision to break. I reckon I was over 100 days streak.
Yeah, well, I've used that for years and I had the same thing where I would get like really obsessed with some streaks and then I've changed my opinion on streaks since then. Now I like don't get into the streaks as much.
Yeah.
Because what would happen is I would, you know, I'd have like one thing that I have a really gone streak on and I would never break that. And then sometimes the quality of that thing I was doing would get so low that it became a joke.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it until like I like step back out of myself. I'm like, that it was like not what you intended at all.
Yeah.
And then other stuff that I would break the list, I was like, oh, there's no point doing that thing because like I've got no streak.
Mm.
Like I'm on 5.
Mm.
This other thing, I'm on like 180. Like,
It's silly.
What's the point of even getting into this?
Yeah, it's silly.
And you end up just doing the same thing that you're comfortable with, you know, forever. So, yeah, I think some people get into those streaks, like the Seinfeld thing. Seinfeld had like made streaks famous. Like I think they wrote a joke every day or whatever for like a long period of time. But once you're gaming the system, it's silly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's where I got with it. I'm like, you know what? I've got the habit of reading. I read the next night and the night after. And because I broke my streak, I didn't quit reading forever. That was a bit of a hesitation, like, oh, fuck. But I think sometimes with reading, it's like in this particular case, it was like, oh, maybe the book I'm also reading right now is not that motivating. So I switched up books and I was like, got more into it. But we will review a book at the end of today. But yeah, guys, I think, the streak thing, it's big. You need to watch yourself on it. All right, so we're going to get into some listener questions. Just before we do, guys, of course, as always, we work with some amazing companies. And this company, Activated Nutrients, do a greens powder, which we want to push you guys towards because, as we've spoken about many times before, it's very impossible to get all the micronutrients, all the minerals, all the vitamins that you need in a day to be healthy. And therefore, why not just bank on some insurance, give yourself a teaspoon for less than $2 a day, of all the vitamins and minerals that you need, pre and probiotics, in a single scoop, mixed in water, tastes fine. Our clients always say, hey, it's way better than I expected how it tastes. And just cover your bases, because you might not get to those foods throughout the day. So you can do that at themindmuscleproject.com/activatednutrients. You can find a discount code there for the top-up product for men and women. So go check that out.
Nice. We've got a good question here, and I think we could even have a bit of a deep dive into this, because it relates to sleep. A question for the show. I need to change to night training from early mornings to 8 p.m. due to kids. Any advice on how to get good quality sleep after training sessions?
That's a tough question.
So there's a lot that goes into this because this really goes all around sleep hygiene, which is like, fuck, we spend nearly every day coaching people on sleep hygiene.
Yeah.
Obviously, you work on it yourself because it's a never-ending battle, sleep. So there's a lot that goes into this. I will tackle the first one of just why is it hard to get to sleep after night training. There's a number of reasons. Obviously, there's tons because you're doing all the wrong things. You're out in the bright lights. You probably shifts around your eating. You're probably having to eat after it. It's just like social stimulation as well, which makes it hard to wind down. But probably the biggest one is that it raises your core body temperature. So anyone knows when you exercise, particularly if you exercise very hard, your core body temperature is raised. And it's raised usually for like a good, you know, hour, 2 hours more, at depending least, on how hard you exercise and kind of how hot you got during it. But anyone's had that experience where you've like trained hard, you walk out, you're like, oh, it's not cold today at all. Everyone's wearing jumpers. And then like an hour later, you realize it's actually a cold day. It's because your core body temperature is really raised up a lot. And to fall asleep, your core body temperature has to go down. So your core body temperature is slightly lower overnight than it is during the day. So that difference that may seem small, just a degree after training, actually makes a really big difference for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you nailed it there. That's definitely the reason. So there are some ways, obviously, you can bring down your core body temperature. First of all, I think, you know, getting inside some kind of cold room like aircon or fans and stuff is important. Down-regulating through stretching, breathing, super important tools to use as well. Sometimes having a hot shower can bring a lot of heat to the surface and your body has to work really hard to cool yourself down. So rather than have a cold shower after training, have a hot shower. That can be helpful as well. But there are always going to be limitations to how quickly your core body temperature can cool down as well. And if you also get too cold too fast, sometimes it can make you a bit sick. So you just got to be careful with that sort of thing. But yeah, ultimately, you've got to balance everything. You got to just maybe make some sacrifices. Just know that, hey, this is just part of what comes with the territory.
Yeah, and I think one thing with sleep I talk about with clients is it's never going to be perfect. So this probably is not the perfect training schedule for your sleep. But there's so many factors that go into your sleep that what you can do is, okay, I've got this new habit, I'm training late, it's like not ideal for my sleep. What are all the other things I could do to just generally improve my sleep hygiene that's going to make up for this? And maybe you could like improve your room. Maybe make it a bit darker. Maybe you could make it a bit cooler. Maybe you could like bring some white noise into the room. Maybe you could like shift around your meals. You're not eating as much close to bed in some way. You know, maybe you could look at your supplementation, try and improve that. Maybe you could look at something that's going to like wind you down psychologically. You're not looking at your social media like the second before you go to sleep. You can like use all those tools to make up for the fact that now you've got this new stimulation that's, yeah, not ideal for your sleep.
Yeah, I would just say you have to be as diligent as possible with those things that you just mentioned, Raph, when you are basically shifting the needle way over to the other side. It's like, okay, if you're coming home from a long day, you're kind of tired or whatever, and there's like 10 perfect things for sleep hygiene, you probably get away with 5, right? Because you're kind of already in that sleep state. It's like, okay, if you're ramping up into a training state, okay, we're going to have to do all 10 things perfectly when you get home. So it's not like there's necessarily one magic thing. It's like the collection of doing everything correctly because you've put yourself in this really awakened state. Now you have to do all the stuff that puts you into that sleep mode.
And then probably the last thing would just be stimulants. Ideal is you basically avoid all stimulants before you're training.
Yeah. Yeah. You shouldn't really have stimulants past 12 p.m., you know, middle of the day. So, you know, some people have come to us before and said, well, I get to an evening training session, I'm really flat from the day. And I don't want to take pre-workout because for these reasons, I can't sleep afterwards. And I said, well, you know, calories are a form of energy as well. And some of the most readily and best training energy available is carbohydrates. And so what you should do is you should consume a lot of carbohydrates before that training session if you're very flat. You know, go grab a banana, have a Gatorade, maybe have, you know, some lollies or something, some pure forms of sugar to really help you get through the training session. And that can be helpful as well because you kind of ramp up that blood sugar, utilize a lot of the fuel for the training. And then basically after that, you know, your body's ready to calm down, ready to down-regulate. And it's not full of like caffeine and other stimulants.
Mm. And you could even, you know, shift your whole body clock slightly. So you probably most likely will want to start trying to go to bed a bit later so you can sleep in a little bit more in the morning.
Mm.
If you may be like, okay, I'm going to train at 8 now, but I'm going to keep my 4 a.m. wake-ups, that's probably not going to go well.
Yeah.
Long run.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you have to, but ideally, you might have to just shift your whole body clock slightly so that it's not as extreme.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. This is a bit of an interesting one. So,
who's it from?
It's from CrossFit Essor. So, I guess it's from another gym. And they're talking about when you change fitness programs. So, he's changed his fitness program at his gym and he's lost a lot of clients, disappointed a bunch of people, and he's saying, how do you guys manage it personally?
Hey, so, he changed what?
Changed his like fitness offering at the gym.
Fitness offering. Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
Some people don't like it. A bunch of these people have moved, but he thinks it's better for the community as a whole. He's like, how does this ever get to you personally? Are you always honest with clients about what's best for them in the long run? Do you keep transparency as you strive towards the right thing for your business, but also just the right thing for their fitness? How do you guys deal with that?
Mm. Well, I mean, we have a perfect example, right? We shifted from COVID. In COVID, we went into it with a group fitness model of uncapped classes, one program, one size fits all programming. And we shifted into semi-private training, which was groups of 6 with one coach. And it is a 55-minute session, which is half personalized strength training and then half of the just group conditioning. And we took out a lot of movements in the conditioning. Mm. No more Olympic weightlifting, no more gymnastics. So we really changed the offering and we put the price up significantly. In some cases, we close to doubled the price in a time which was completely uncertain. Loads of people had lost their jobs. You know, we had a lot of distressed members still using our online services but not paying for it. And then it felt really fucked up to go into what was a really uncertain climate and be like, hey, the model that you know and loved has changed and now costs more to train with us at the gym. Who's in? You know, that was rough. And so how we put it was we spoke to every client individually on the phone going into opening the gym. I drew the best straw and didn't have to make any of those phone calls, but I have to drew a short straw and our coaches drew the short straw and spoke to all the clients, I guess mainly because I didn't really have a relationship with any of the clients at the gym at that point, because we essentially, instead of doing that with our third gym, which I had all the relationships at, we just sold it.
Yeah.
So I kind of skipped that part just by chance, I suppose. But Raf, you could probably speak more to it, but how did those conversations go with the clients?
Man, they're tough conversations, but I guess what it comes down to is, like, it's like anything. Your goal in life is just not always to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
And you can't. And if you're trying to do that and you take that into these conversations with people, you're going to be left disappointed. Because no matter what I said, most of them were just disappointed. People don't... It's tough because you're the professional when it comes to fitness. You truly know something's better for someone. A lot of people just won't agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there's like... It can be hard / impossible to impress that upon people. Mm. You know? They're like, man, this is all I need. Just like ski erg intervals forever. I'm telling you, it's full body.
Yeah.
You're like... telling you no.
yeah
and that's a tough conversation, but that's not your job and you have to just be okay with that. And yeah, you just don't want to be in a situation where, like, for you to be happy, they need to be happy. Like, you just need to be happy and understand that maybe they're not happy, as long as you fully believe you're doing the right thing for the clients.
Remember that people, you know, we are more motivated by the fear of losing something than we are by the potential gain of something. That's how humans have wired. We've studied it. It's very evident in human behavior and psychology. So you fear losing what you have and you're more motivated by that, which is why you stay the same, then you are motivated by the potential new upside of what this thing is. Now, obviously, this has shifted a little bit. It's why you made the change, but your brain always moves towards, oh, I'm going to lose this client. Oh, I'm going to lose this community. I'm going to lose these people. And it doesn't really focus on, but then my life will be better and I'll have a better model and I'll make more money and this and that. That's there. You know it's there. You acknowledge it, but you can't help but keep
pushed
thinking.
Pushed it to the side.
Yeah. It's all in front of mind is always, oh, but this person's not going to join the gym. This person's left. It sounds like it's already started happening. But just let me tell you, what you should really focus on is the upside. Don't think about what you're going to lose, right? It's like we tell clients when they start nutrition protocols. Don't focus on the alcohol that you're giving up. Don't focus on the meals that you're not going to have. Don't focus on the foods that you can't eat as much of. Focus on what you're gaining. Okay, you're gaining a sense of discipline, which is going to trickle over to all areas of your life. You're gonna gain back your heart health. You're gonna gain back, you know, your midline. You're gonna have clothes that you used to love. You're gonna get those back. You're gonna wear the clothes that didn't fit anymore. You're gonna be able to wear them again. You're gonna have energy and vitality and strength to play with your young family and your kids. You're gonna be around to see the fruits of your labor from your career. You know, those are the things you're gaining, whereas we always focus on the things that we're losing, and it motivates us not to make a change. So it sounds like it's the hardest part, but you know, it's essential for growth. You're on the right path. And that's a lesson for anyone. You know, sometimes the worst things for us end up having a silver lining, and you look back on them and you're like, that's the best thing we ever did. You know, unfortunately, we agreed before going into that change for Creature is we committed to it and we're like, no matter what, we're not going back. You know, this is everything we believe in, everything we talk about. This is the direction we're heading in. If anything, it's kind of a trial run for locker room as well. And yeah, it sucked, but we had the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, no, it's worth it. We lost tons of good members that we used to love, but it worked out better in the end. So I think you're on the right path.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when I first started lifting. I was like, oh, I really want to gain some more muscle. Obviously, I really needed muscle, right? I was like super skinny. But I was like, oh, I'll lose my abs if I eat anymore. So there's like probably a long period where I like didn't eat enough to gain more muscle, because I'm like, oh, but I could be slightly less defined. You know, so, and you focus on what you lose, but then you look back, you're like, dude, you're so small. you're going to gain so much by eating more and, you know, gaining. You've got so much muscle you could gain over a lifetime. It's going to transform your life.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, but its definition could go down.
Could go down. So hopefully that was helpful.
Next question, Blind Lotus, very specific one. Can you break down the difference between net carbs and actual carbs?
Right. As in the when they say total carbohydrates and then they say sugars?
Yeah, I think it's like, which is a good question. You know, on packaging all the time now, they're like net carbs is this and actual carbs. I think what I'm referring to is because a lot of companies these days will take out fiber from the carbs. So particularly if you get like a Quest bar, something like that, right? And then because they're adding in fiber and sugar alcohols, they're like saying, hey, you know, there's all these carbs in here, but you know, fiber doesn't, it's not going to add to your actual carbohydrate load for the day. So the net carbs is like 2, but the actual carbs is 9.
Mm. Yeah, okay. I think you're right. Mm. I actually don't know.
Yeah, so I think that's what they're focusing on there. And yeah, we talked about once with Dean McKillop. It does make sense because it doesn't add to your calories. It's not like making you fatter anywhere like that. But it can also be very confusing.
Yeah, I can appreciate how it'd be confusing. Yeah, and that's, I mean, you know, it's interesting. I started playing with some dieting apps on the weekend, last weekend. Just, I would use Carbon, Lane Norton's app. I was on Equilution, Jade's app. I was on the RP app. And what's interesting is like...
you must be shredded.
Yeah, dude, crazy. I actually made no gains. I'm out of pocket like $100.
I spent all week on my phone.
I'm out of pocket $100 and made no gains. No, I was just seeing like the features and stuff. And it is actually really interesting how like some... I think dieting apps, regardless, they're all difficult. Like they are hard to use and navigate, and like takes a lot of work to put, you know, data in and put it in accurately and stuff. But I think there's just a certain type of personality that does really well on the apps. And I think that the creators of the apps really know the kind of target market they're going for. These apps are not built for everyone. That's like what I really noticed is like there is a specific target market in mind with this app. You know, like the RP people, it is numbers-based people. It's like lifters and bodybuilders and people cutting for shows and stuff. Like it gets into a lot of detail. It's not for Gen Pop. I would never put my mum on the RP diet app. It's just not for her.
You think none of those are for Gen Pop?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Equilution might be, but I think a Gen Pop app is like a noom. It's like, all right, cool. It's like one habit's going to pop up on your screen every day and it's going to be like, did you do it? Did you drink more water? Like, did you go to bed on time? Yes or no? Like just really basic stuff like that. But some of these dieting apps, it's like, what time did you train? How much sleep did you get? Like, is it low intensity, high intensity, exertion level? And you got to like put it in for every day and it's got to scan every food. And then it's like, all right, we're going to go through all the proteins and all the fats. And it's like, fuck, man, this is not what the average person needs. This is overwhelming. Like, I was overwhelmed in the app trying to figure out how to do it. But it's for someone who's like, no, I'm prepping for a show. I'm like counting every kilo on the bar. I'm watching every food that goes in. I'm cooking every meal. So, what I think what's interesting about dieting apps, I know it's a bit of a side tangent, is like they are definitely not built for the Gen Pop, most of them.
I mean, it's complex when you think about it because you got all that stuff in the app, and then 90% of the time you also need to do all your training.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, then you got your training program apps.
It is. That's why people pay a coach, because I'm like, hey, I went and looked at this app and I started counting and I was like, oh, it's too fucking hard. What should I do? It's just easier to have a coach, pay them, and the coach is like, cool, this week, do this. This week, do this. This week, do this. That's how we do it with our clients, right? They can use a dieting app. They have access to it.
Mm.
They just want to be told what to do.
Yeah.
Especially if they have the money to pay for it.
But I agree. There's a personality type. And if you're the personality type that, you know, you find that match with an app, I think sometimes people can see really good results with it, right? But then there's probably, like, most apps don't work for most people. That's probably the reality of potentially why they can get a bad rap as well. Because it's for a particular type of person, most apps you say, man, like, didn't work for me.
Yeah, like, I think of the Precision Nutrition dieting app. You remember when you used that?
Pro Coach?
Yeah, that's a Gen Pop app. It starts really slow. Take 10 minutes every day for, like, 3 weeks to eat your meals or whatever. Like, that is a slow start. For someone that is like prepping for a bodybuilding show, they're like, no, what macros do I need to eat? You know?
Was there anything you'd learned from the apps that you'd take on?
No.
Nothing?
No. Not really. I mean, nah. I mean, I know a lot of that stuff. Yeah. I guess it was just like, if I was to build an app, I just wouldn't build it like that. Mm. Yeah. I think they're all competing over a very similar segment of the market. That's probably what I took away from it. Yeah. Those particular apps.
They're going up.
But they're all kind of the same guys. Right? Lane Norton's very similar to like a Mike Isratel sort of thing. So, yeah.
Okay. Away from nutrition, last question. Guru of Gains, I've had an Achilles rupture. How do you...
Oh, fuck.
How do you go about bulletproofing your Achilles against injury?
Well, that's a different question to a rehab question, right? Because I guess he's ruptured it. He wants to bulletproof it in the future, not how do I get it stronger? The same question?
Yeah.
Man, I think that a lot of Achilles ruptures happen because people haven't used their Achilles a certain way for a long time, and then they go and try and use it. It's like that video we watched of Tom.
Oh, my God. Should have reviewed that video.
We should have reviewed. So,
how can people find that video?
So, it's Tom Segura. If you know Tom Segura, he's like a good friend of Joe Rogan. He's a comedian. He's got a few Netflix specials. So, he's a really famous comedian.
This video could be a Netflix special.
Dude. So, he... Basically, the video is him and Bert Kreischer. They're always part of the Sober October challenge, these two, and they're both fat, right? And they always give each other shit about being fat. And they go and do a sport, every year, and they film it. Like, one year, they did tennis. They competed in tennis and swimming and stuff. This year, they competed in basketball against each other in a slam dunk contest. So, essentially, they've got the ring height. They've lowered it. And because they're really famous, there's, lots of good basketballers there, good coaches, some NBA guys. They're, kind of hanging out on the court. They've lowered this ring, and they're doing a dunk contest. But they're both, not athletes, right? And so, anyway, there's, they'll dunk it on, 8 foot. Yeah. 10 foot's, the main height. And then they take it up a bit, take it up. And then, Tom is telling this story in the video. You just go Tom Segura, horrific injury. Tom's telling this story. And as he's telling it, and you see the footage of him, he's in a full leg brace and he's in a full arm brace. And he's like, I won the dunk contest. He's like, you are looking at the winner. As guy's absolutely obliterated the left side of his body. And he's doing, because I watched the video, I sent it. I was laughing so hard and crying in public that people were staring at me. I had to go back inside the gym because so many people were concerned about how much I was crying. I showed Raph and we start crying. Basically what he goes to do, right? He's he wins the dunk contest and he's cool, I'm going to take it up to 9'3". He's one at this point. Bert couldn't dunk the last height. He dunked it. And everyone's dude, Tom, you can keep going, bro. And he gets really fired up. He's explaining this story. He's getting really fired up. And he's I got this rush of adrenaline. And usually when you get a rush of adrenaline that much, he's I should have in hindsight, calmed down a bit. Mm. Anyway, so he's runs up to the hoop to dunk this ball, 9'3". So it's pretty high. It goes to take off on his left leg and his patella tendon snaps completely, right? So he presses so hard through his leg that he snaps his patella tendon. As his patella tendon snaps, obviously his leg completely gives out and his left arm goes behind him and he just basically falls flat on his back. Imagine just if you went from running and then you just threw yourself backwards at the ground as hard as possible. That's how hard he hit the ground, but with his left arm behind him. If a policeman was going to arrest you, and hands behind your back, that position. So imagine throwing yourself back as hard as you can with your left arm in that position, and he lands on it. Dude's fat, right? Lands on and snaps his humerus completely.
Completely.
Completely snaps his humerus, right? Which is the arm bone, the bicep, the tricep attached to. Clean snap of the bone. It happened so quickly, right? So fast. He's on the ground on his side and he's like Peter Griffin. And if you've seen Family Guy, it's a famous video and he's and that is the exact sound that it makes. And he looks like Peter Griffin. It's on his side. He's ruptured his patella, snapped his humerus, just trying to dunk a basketball. He hasn't even left the ground.
It's probably the funniest thing I've ever seen.
We were crying with laughter. Anyway, so the video is absolutely horrific, but it's so funny. And the YouTube comments set it off. I won't spoil any of the YouTube comments. You go watch the video. That's probably better than any Netflix review you've done recently. It's 5-minute video. So go watch it. Tom Segura, horrific injury. You will cry. You will laugh your tits off. It is hilarious.
It's one of the best examples you could ever see of what happens when you just don't really look after your body that much. You just, you don't bulletproof it, right? You don't really focus much on health and fitness. You're going to let yourself go. So you're just not in shape. And then you're get back into sports. Everyone that decides, I just haven't done anything for 20 years, I'm going to get back into this touch football game, they should have to watch that video.
Yeah.
So as a warning.
So I guess that takes us back to the original question, how to bulletproof your Achilles, is you have to start using it for the purpose that you want to start using it for. So I'm not sure how your Achilles ruptured. I can't speak to it. Maybe you were just doing basketball and you've been playing your whole life and it just ruptured. But, you need to train the tendons and the muscles in the ways that you're going to use them. So slow strength, building up into isometric strength, slow strength, dynamic strength, plyometrics, generally the way to train things. And just have a program in there. So like using those principles, it might look like, you know, in the first block of training, it's a lot of like calf raises, it's a lot of heel toe walking, it's a lot of like long holds and stretches, building up the foundation of that tendon. Then it might be looking to some more slow strength stuff. Full range of motion, tempo, calf raises, you know, as heavy as possible, as full of range of motion as possible. Potentially like pushing sleds, you know, in the next part. Something a little bit more dynamic where the Achilles is like lengthening and shortening. Power clean, stuff like that, you know, skipping. Then you're getting into the more plyometric stuff, running, sprinting, jumping, single leg, stability work. All that stuff is, that's what you can do. And that's it. That's like, that's the best you can do. And then if you go out there and it ruptures, like you did everything you could at that point. It's just like a bit unfortunate, but doing nothing and then going into sprinting and jumping and landing, that's how you really hurt yourself.
Yeah, and I think most people's Achilles is really, really stiff. Most people's, it just have, you have terrible range of motion.
Yeah.
Particularly for what you need for sports. You can get away with not that much in the gym. Usually you don't need that much Achilles range of motion, right? So working on your strength and the end range of motion is critical. Vast majority of people are incredibly stiff through their Achilles. They don't even realize how far it should go. That's like surprised me. I was like, when I got into training, I was like, I didn't even realize it was meant to go that far. If you played any field sport, it basically destroys it. And if you just don't train, it just gets destroyed from just sedentary living. So it just gets a low blood supply. It's super stiff in most people and you have to actually train it.
And it can produce a lot of force, right? So that's how it's vulnerable to snapping, is that it's the biggest tendon in the body. And, you know, it's used in sprinting. So it's used in a super high, high force kind of movement. So just be careful with the Achilles. Don't be scared to use it, obviously, but yeah, do it properly. All right. So before we jump into our book review this week, guys, we do training programs. We haven't talked about them for a while, but we have four: body, project, fitness, and mobility. So if you're looking to improve any of those areas, start with one of our 8-week programs, Project Body, Project Fitness, Project Strong, Project Mobility. Guys, we've had hundreds of people go through them at this point, and they're absolutely loving them. The reviews is great. Obviously, we deliver them in Team Builder. It's a great app. It's got video instructions on there. You can log your scores. You can interact with the rest of the community. It's just a really smooth, easy way to get a program rather than a clunky Excel sheet or just making it up as you go when you go home, which is always stupid. Maybe you want to go out and venture on your own a little bit. You want to leave a gym and a coach and try something else, and you've learned a little bit. So anyone that's from like sort of the 6-month journey to the 12-month journey onwards will benefit from these programs. MyMuscleProject.com/programs, where you guys can check it out. Anyone that goes in it, thank you so much for investing in your training, your fitness, and you know, you're capitalizing on, you know, interview with 300 guests, us working with thousands of clients, all the experience we've had put into these programs. Okay, so the book we're reviewing today, staying on the theme of sports and basketball actually, Relentless by Tim Grover.
And Achilles.
What do you mean?
Didn't Kobe snap his Achilles?
Oh, he did. Yeah, he did. Kobe did snap his Achilles. Yeah, so it can happen to anyone. Now, I would probably describe Relentless as like a pretty like raw sort of mindset book in many ways. It has probably a really controversial chapter in there called The Darkness. I don't know if you remember this, Raf, you read it a while ago. I'm reading it now. But so Tim Grover is basically the mindset coach, or the high performance coach of Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Dwayne Wade. Hasn't worked with LeBron James. But yeah, I mean, those names already should tell you enough about him. And he's a very intense guy. He's very good at what he does, and he gets, obviously, extreme results, but he does it in a very different way. One thing that comes out of Relentless, which is very controversial, like I just mentioned, The Darkness, the chapter on The Darkness, talks about how... So he categorizes basically three types of people. So he's got closers, he's got... No, what's the... Cleaners is the main one.
Cleaners... Closers, and I forgot the last one.
Yeah.
I'll get it up.
Cleaners, closers, something. Anyway, so cleaners are like Michael Jordans, right? They're like these super high performers, super savage, win at all costs kind of people.
Cooler.
Cooler's the worst one.
Yep.
Then you've got a closer, which is kind of like the support guy who always performs really well, but he's less consistent. And then you've got the cooler. And he kind of gives a description, and it helps you understand the differences between which type of person you are and then how you can cultivate more of a cleaner mentality if that's what you want.
He describes it as, yeah, good, great, unstoppable, coolers, closers, and cleaners.
Yeah. And it's interesting because in like, and what he goes to talk about, he's like, in areas of your life, you will not be a cleaner in all those areas. He's like, it just depends on what area you want to be at. And I was reading it and I felt like through a lot of my sporting life, I absolutely was not a cleaner. I would not take on the attitude and the relentlessness that a cleaner has. But what's interesting is what I've been cultivating in business is when I read a lot of his business examples of being a cleaner, I'm like, fuck, that's exactly what I'm like. And I think that's just maybe my personal evolution, you know, and the maturity and reading books and listening to podcasts and just investing in my own development is I've become in the like the aspect of my career, I've become very much a cleaner. And you could probably even hear it through the evolution of our podcast and maybe the assertiveness and the directness and the tone that we use through the shows as we've lived more life and had more experiences. I've become more of a cleaner in many ways that I've realized. And I don't think that I adopt the mentality 100% of the time. I don't think anyone necessarily does unless you're like, there's something wrong with you. You're like Michael Jordan. But yeah, in many areas, I think that I've become those sorts of things. But to talk about the darkness quickly, the controversial chapter, is he talks about how for a lot of, especially cleaners, they basically have a really strong dark side. And the dark side could be drugs and alcohol. It could be sex. It could be obsession with themselves in terms of like vanity. It could be power. It could be money. Those are kind of the main ones he talks about. And what he says is that to deny yourself that obsession, because kind of everyone has this darkness and they know in some ways it's like, oh, it's wrong to kind of obsess over this. Like maybe I'm married, but I'm obsessed with chasing other women. Maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm just like crazy obsessed with money, like to the point that it's there's something wrong. Maybe I'm, you know, crazy obsessed with power and it's like unhealthy and it's not good. But what's controversial about what he says is he's like, in order to actually be great is you have to harness the darkness and you have to lean into it more and use it more. It's like, not so much that it destroys your life, but he's like, name me a high performer that doesn't have some dark side that, you know, you haven't been caught about. And he gives examples, right? The Tiger Woods, the Michael Jordans, the LeBron James, whatever, they've all had something in their past where it's like, dude, you fucked up. Like, you did some crazy shit. But he's like, that just comes with the territory and that's what you have to embrace. And if you want to reach those higher levels of performance, that's who you are. It's your nature. And the more you deny it, the more it will destroy you. In fact, you have to have some of it. You have to use it because what it does, it helps you balance it out. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but...
Need more of the drugs and alcohol.
Yeah. I tend to agree a little bit.
Tiger Woods definitely had that.
Absolutely had that. Obviously, in the more extreme cleaners, it's a more extreme darkness. And I think like in less extreme versions of high performers, it's just less extreme. But I think what is interesting is I think as you stack more successes, that element of the darkness kind of amplifies more. Mm. You know what I mean? I just don't think you can wreck yourself or get as lost in some of the areas of darkness, for example, and like say power and money and that sort of stuff, if you're just not that successful anyway. But it's like having all the fame and success,
yeah, it amplifies it.
That area of darkness. Is, you know, if you're Michael Jordan, you know, if you're the best basketball player on your, you know, under 18's social side on Sundays, and but your dark side is you just, you know, you're obsessed with women or whatever, it's probably only a certain number of women that want to sleep with you.
Mm.
In your local sort of, you know, ecosystem. But for Michael Jordan, it's infinite. So the problem can be, you know, much worse. So it's just like, it's all relative in some ways, but I guess the point of the book stands. And it's a very interesting book. I mean, a lot of stuff I disagree with in there, a lot of stuff I agree with in there, but not many people will write about these sorts of topics the way he writes about it, which I find is interesting.
Yeah, it is an interesting book. And there's, it's what that, like, I mean, that chapter, it's not the whole book, right? It's kind of... But I think people make it out like that is like the whole book because like it's like the controversial bit in there. It's heaps of this general stuff about just like what made these guys super successful and how to get the most out of people with your training. So very, very much highly recommend it. Not too much like really like training detail and stuff in there. That probably wouldn't be that good anyway.
No.
It's more around the mindset, which is, you know, more interesting. I don't want to find out that much about how he got his jump bigger. I don't care about my jump.
No.
And he probably was pretty good jumping to start with.
No, it's just interesting to hear like just relatable moments where their attitude is just very different to what you would expect. So, no, it's a great book. I'm really enjoying it. I'm almost done. So,
Does he work with athletes now?
Yep.
Yeah. Just current NBA players.
Yeah. So, I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 5.
So, did you read Winning or the previous one?
No, so Winning is the current one. I've not read that yet, but I bought it.
Okay. So you're talking about Relentless. Same one I was.
I'm talking about Relentless. Yep. Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, well, probably, man, I really enjoyed it when I listened to it. So probably a 4 out of 5. I didn't read it. I listened to the audiobook, and I thought that was, for this type of book, was really good. There's tons of stories and stuff in there. So I haven't read it, but the recommendation would be to get the audiobook, which I did. And I will get around to winning the new book.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, as always, we love you tuning in. Thank you for supporting the show. If you enjoyed it, please tell someone. If you enjoyed it even more, you can leave us a 5-star review. But regardless, you guys just go out there, fucking smash it, and we'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.